Notice, and I think I've said this already, this great discovery, this beautiful inner freedom of not possessing my deeds, of not wanting to be great for my own sake, that doesn't lead her to become passive and to give up. That's the heresy of quietism, saying, okay, I realise I can't earn my salvation, so I'm just going to sit back and let God do everything. No, she still says, I'm going to spend my life in giving all for Jesus in the little things. So it's not quietism, but it's doing everything now purely for the love of the Lord, to express our love and confidence in him, and not because we're afraid of what we haven't got. So this littleness, and I've said, all it is really, it's the true meaning of Christian humility. So it's what we should all be living. It's not just for Therese devotees, this. It's the true meaning of grace, of humility. It doesn't mean, and I hope you've seen this now, a false modesty. Oh, I'm just useless, I can't do anything. It doesn't mean, not at all, it does not at all mean a lack of self-esteem, as we might say in modern psychology. Or even worse, a self-pity. Therese, at this stage in her life, she was screwed up as a child. She was really damaged. But the Lord stepped in and healed her. She was still a weak, broken person. But what she's living through now and writing about, it's not low self-esteem or self-pity. She knows who she is. She knows her strengths and weaknesses, and she speaks with real confidence about what she can do. And she knows the love of God and the love of her family, and she simply knows at rock bottom that everything is a gift, and she can do nothing on her own. It's an awareness of her complete dependence on God, and that the mercy of Jesus, the love of Jesus, every moment of our lives, and especially on this retreat when we go to confession, when we have Mass, that mercy of Jesus, it's a pure gift. And her little way helps us to see this. She wrote to Celine. It's extraordinary, really. She's advising her bigger sister. But this is what she wrote. Quote, "Your soul's urgent need at present is not the ability to practice heroic virtue, but rather to acquire humility." That's her summary, and it's the summary of what I've been saying, isn't it? If you want to be really holy, Celine, she's saying, it's not to do great things, it's to learn to be humble. And then you will do great things, because you'll be doing simple, loving things without any ulterior motives. This is no more than St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talking about how he glories, St. Paul, only in his weaknesses. He boasts only in his weaknesses. This is why Therese is a doctor of the church, because her little way is not just spirituality. It's the theological heart of the gospel that she's put into an accessible language for people. To sum it up, all her little way is a young woman in very limited circumstances discovering the fatherhood of God, the mercy of Christ for sinners and for the poor and the weak, and the gracious, unmerited gift of the Holy Spirit. The fatherhood of God, the mercy of Jesus, the grace of the Holy Spirit. That's all the little way is, but it's saying what that really means. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And the peace and the quiet of heart that can only be found if we rejoice in our infirmities. So, that's the love of God and the little way. Very theological, as it were. And then, two final thoughts, just to finish off. That's Thérèse's spiritual doctrine. This wonderful balance of still giving everything, but knowing it's all from the Lord and for the Lord. So she doesn't fall into the two traps of Pelagianism, which is thinking if we only try harder, we can justify ourselves, forgetting that it's all a gift. And the other trap of Quietism, which is thinking if we just let God do everything and become very passive in our prayer and in our moral lives, he will put everything right. It's not those two. It's bringing together, giving everything, but knowing we're receiving everything. And just, as I said, two final headings here. One is prayer. So what does this mean for her prayer life? And then, how does she cope with the difficulties that come in one's faith? And especially the difficulties she suffered at the end of her life. So just 5 minutes on each of those topics, and then we'll finish. So prayer. Well, she longed to pray. She was faithful to prayer throughout her life, despite the aridity and dryness she often felt. She wanted to be with Christ. She opened her heart to Christ. She showed her love for Christ in prayer and in praying for others. And just some beautiful quotes here from her writings. Prayer sets ablaze a fire of love. And another quote, very simple. How great is the power of prayer? And then a longer thought here. It's prayer, it's sacrifice, that are entirely my strength. These are the invincible weapons that Jesus has given me. Much more than words, they can touch souls. So, just as I said earlier, she developed a beautiful theology about the love of God, but it was all based on the simple foundation that she knew and believed in the love of God. The same with her prayer life. She went through so much, I'll talk about it a little bit now, but the heart of her prayer life was simply that she believed in the importance of prayer. And again, for us, just a moment for us to meditate on sometime this weekend. Maybe not some deep thought about how am I praying or why or where, or but just, am I a person who wants to pray? Have I actually taken that? I might pray and I go to Mass and I try and say a prayer every now and then, but have I actually had that moment of conversion when I sit before the Lord and say, Lord, I actually want to know you. And I want to pray. And I know it can be a struggle, and I know I need to find out what that means. But have I taken that step of opening my heart and saying to the Lord, Lord, help me to be a person of prayer. Help me to be someone who prays. And show me what that means for me. As I keep saying, maybe not becoming a nun, but becoming someone who is praying seriously, prayerfully, profoundly, each day, somehow, in a way that's right for me. She struggled with prayer sometimes. So that's the first thing, was that she wanted to pray and she loved to pray and she believed and knew that nothing could happen without prayer. She struggled. most of her prayer for most of her life was very dry. And sometimes all she could do, she said, was to slowly recite the Our Father and the Hail Mary. She wasn't just mystical and dark, just to say to you the ordinary things about her prayer. She loved to do spiritual reading. She read the scriptures, above all. She loved, above all, in terms of authors, St. John of the Cross and the Imitation of Christ. Part of her prayer life was finding some solid spiritual nourishment, especially the Gospels, but other spiritual reading. And again, that's something just to throw over to you in this retreat. Are you nourishing yourself spiritually? Sometimes we drift along in our Christian faith, in our spiritual lives, and we get a bit stuck. And the reason is not because we're going through a dark night of the soul. We might think we are. Sometimes we're not. It's because we're not nourishing our spiritual lives. And that's something we can decide to do. Just by saying, let me find a good book and read it for 5 minutes each evening. Or read it on the bus in the morning. So, am I nourishing my spiritual life? She often had few consolations. She often fell asleep in her prayer and her meditation. She didn't give up and say, that's fine, but she had the peace and the confidence to know that it doesn't matter if we're weak and tired and fall asleep, because we're still loved equally by our Father. And isn't that beautiful to know? So it's not an excuse, but it's a reassurance. God loves us as long as we want to be there in prayer. That's the most important thing. And she says sometimes she doesn't know how to pray. And have you ever felt that? I don't know how to pray. But she didn't use that as an excuse to not pray, which is what we usually do. Listen to this. When I don't know how to pray, quote, I very simply tell God what I want to tell him without making beautiful phrases, and he always understands me. So, simplicity, honesty, transparency. That's the heart of her prayer. And as I've said, this is the last thought about prayer. She went through real dryness, where it was just really stark. And I don't know if you've experienced that, when we just go to pray and we feel really empty, and it's very difficult to face the Lord and to face the chapel or praying. And she was honest and tough about this. Listen to this. This is why I say she was not some kid. Listen to this. She's almost a bit sarcastic. Ah, here is great love. To love Jesus without feeling the sweetness of this love. This is martyrdom. That is love pushed to the point of heroism. Remember that phrase. To love Jesus without feeling the sweetness of this love. That's a trap. We can think, I'm only going to pray with Jesus if it's sweet. And she says, if you want to really love Jesus, you have to go beyond that. It's not that he'll never love us and help us and touch us, no. But just, am I going there to get sweeties off him? Or am I going there because I want to be with him, because he's my saviour and friend and brother and lover? And how wise she is. This is what she wrote when she'd been on a retreat and experienced absolutely nothing. Right? And I say this, I like saying this on retreats, yeah? If you go away from this retreat and it was awful, that's fine. Don't go away thinking you had a bad retreat. Don't blame God. Don't blame the retreat giver. Yeah? Really? I mean this. Listen to this. So she had an awful retreat in worldly terms, in human terms. And she said, the most absolute aridity and almost total abandonment were my lot. Full stop. But then she says, Jesus was sleeping as usual in my boat. Jesus was sleeping in my boat. And then she says, this is the tough bit, and the wisdom, because she knows what other people are like. I see very well how rarely souls allow him to sleep peacefully within them. How rarely other people let Jesus sleep peacefully. We don't mind falling asleep in front of Jesus. But if he falls asleep, she says metaphorically, if he stops shouting, if he stops caressing us, if he just sits there quietly or dozes, we get all angry and we give up. But why can't he have a little snooze now and then when we're praying with him? And that's fine. Finally, it wasn't just dryness, darkness. At the end of her life in her faith, Thérèse suffered a real agony of interior desolation, of feeling, and I hope this hasn't happened to you, but it does, feeling not just that there was no God, but he had completely abandoned her, that he didn't love her, that there was no heaven, and that she was and would be eternally damned. This was like a sword in her soul, all the time, for 18 months. She said, I don't see a thing. She said, she was tempted to despair, and when I say how real a saint she said this absolutely, it's in pen and ink, she could understand why others wanted to kill themselves. In other words, she knew what the temptation to suicide was like. Isn't it wonderful knowing we have a saint who's written that? Jesus permitted my soul to be invaded by the thickest darkness, she said. And she said, it's not just like a veil of faith, as if there's some thin curtain. She says, it's like a wall that rises up to heaven and covers the starry sky. That was her experience. And I'm just saying it once, in case, God forbid, you should ever go through this. This isn't just struggling, or dryness, or sickness. This is a spiritual experience of agony and desolation and abandonment, and a real temptation to walk away from God and to give up on him and to give up on the meaning of our life and faith. But what did she do? And this is the last thought. She didn't give up. And she said, quote, while I do not have the joy of faith, I am trying to carry out its works at least. I believe I have made more acts of faith in this past year than all through my whole life. Another quote, I conduct myself bravely. I run towards Jesus. I am ready to shed the last drop of blood in order to confess that there is a heaven. And that's the key with Thérèse and with us, I hope. Even if we're not going through this terrible darkness that she went through. The key and the miracle of her faith, and why she is truly a great saint, is this staggering mix of anguish and confidence. Of anguish and confidence. In other words, she felt the darkness and the abandonment. And the struggle, let's put it more simply for us ordinary people. She felt the struggle and the difficulty of believing and praying, as we do. But she didn't let that trick her into thinking that there was really no God or that she had no faith. And she said, I want to keep believing. And deep down, I know there is a God, and I want to live for him, and I want to love him, and I know he loves me. And she kept saying and believing that, even when so much around her, inside her, was telling her not to. That's faith. When we think we've lost our faith, to keep holding on to that thread, to that voice, that knowledge, that flickering light of a candle that's so deep within us that it's almost unseen and unheard, but we know it's there. That's faith. Holding on to that, protecting that candle, still listening to that voice, even when we're tempted to believe it's not. And she summed this up very profoundly again. Listen to this. Many serve Jesus when he is consoling them, but few consent to keep company with Jesus sleeping on the waves of suffering. But few consent to keep company with Jesus sleeping on the waves or suffering in the garden of agony. Who then will be willing to serve Jesus for himself? Who will be willing to serve Jesus for himself? And right at the end of her life, she said, so don't believe people if you read some very trendy author telling you that Thérèse lost her faith. She didn't. She struggled with darkness, and there's a difference. And this is what she wrote at the end of her life, just to prove it. Yes, what a grace to have faith. If I hadn't had any faith, I would have taken my life without a moment's hesitation. So a double recognition of the agony of darkness, but the gift of faith. And as I say, just to bring this down to more ordinary levels, like we are, hopefully, very simply, that we are here as people of faith, wanting to live our Catholic Christian faith. We're on retreat because we want to deepen that and renew that. Part of that, for most of us, is going through different struggles. Struggles of prayer, struggles of vocation, struggles of just the ordinary mess of life, of work, of friends, of relationships, of health. So, in one sense, all Thérèse is teaching us is to live through that with faith and confidence. Doing the little things we can with love. Wanting to do everything for God, but knowing that we're weak and we fail, and trusting in his love and mercy. So living through everything with faith and with love. And hopefully Thérèse can help us to do that.